Jeff Goldblum, starring in a production of The Music Man in Pittsburgh? What do you think? It's the premise of his new movie, Pittsburgh, which, as far as I can tell, is a mockumentary that's part documentary. The premise is that Goldblum, the star of such films as Independence Day, Jurassic Park, The Fly, The Big Chill, and Between the Lines, decides to star in a musical in his hometown. He wants to do this so that he can perform opposite his new girlfriend, Catherine Reiford. She's a Canadian who's about 30 years younger than he is and is trying to get her green card. Goldblum is also joined in the cast of The Music Man by his friends Ed Begley Jr. and Ileana Douglas. In the opening scene of the film Pittsburgh, Goldblum is talking to Begley and his wife, telling them about his new girlfriend.
Where'd you meet her?
She was starring in 42nd Street, the tour.
We saw 42nd
Street.
What part did she play?
She's the young, thin young girl, Peggy Sawyer.
Catherine Reiford.
Yeah, Catherine Reiford.
She's like 19.
No,
she's
23.
23.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, that's
beautiful. Here we go.
Now, you may think that a big star like Goldblum would intimidate everyone in a local production of The Music Man, but the director of this production has no trouble criticizing Goldblum's performance.
Jeffrey?
See me on
yes, sir.
The outside.
Where you're going with Harold Hill right now is totally in the wrong direction. He seems smarmy. He seems agitated. Your constant movement is distracting to the point where, and I'm crazy about you, and at one point I thought, I'm just going to shoot him. They're going to hate you.
That's a scene from Pittsburgh. Jeff Goldblum, welcome to Fresh Air. Let me start here by confessing that I don't have a clue which parts of this movie are real documentary and which parts are more like mockumentary.
Yeah. That's great. Really, that's so interesting. Different people see it in different ways, you know. And you know, would it be more delightful to you if you didn't know? First of all, if you didn't know before you'd seen it, or if now you found out, are you interested, or would you rather not know? Is it like a magic trick, or? The people listening, you know, having not seen it maybe, should we keep them in the dark about certain things? What do you think?
No, I think we should let me know.
Okay. All right. Do you have an idea about, or are you curious about
certain
things?
Well, I'm kind of curious, like, did you really do this show because it was a way to get your girlfriend a green card?
What do you think? What do you think any element of that is real? Then I'll tell you.
I don't know. I'm being neutral here. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nice. I hope, you know, it's my hope that it sort of plays like, and what we always wanted to do, something that finally at least played like a narrative fictional movie and had that kind of enjoyment in it. You know, we used different techniques to make it real, naturalistic, spontaneous, complicated, like real life. But for instance, yes, that element is true. Catherine Reiford, played by Catherine Reiford, was at that point my girlfriend, my fiance. She did have those exactly literal difficulties and challenges with her green card and the Pittsburgh situation, the show which happened and that we auditioned for and got helped with that. That was all true, in fact.
So was The Music Man already slated to be produced in Pittsburgh by this regional theater company, or did you suggest that for the movie?
No, it was actually, as Catherine Reiford says in the movie, she found out about it the way she found out. It was slated already, and her agent found out about it, and like that. What you don't know is that we were in from the movie is that I, for 6 years, was looking for had this germ of an idea. It sort of evolved from one thing to another. And as we closed in on, you know, a couple of years ago, I was thinking about a movie that took place in Pittsburgh where this Jeff Goldblum character, much like a Larry David or a Being John Malkovich or a parallel universe version of Jeff Goldblum in real life, could go back to Pittsburgh and encounter his family in some way, and his hometown. And so we were trying to cook up some reason why I might do that was fictional, and or that maybe we could have as a real event, and da 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 da. And then this came about.
Now, the director in the film. Not the director of the documentary, but the director of The Music Man. Is actually
Richard Sibelico.
Yeah, he's kind of hard on you in a couple of scenes. At one point he tells you have 100% potential, but you're only at 25. So was he really critical of your performance when you were rehearsing? And what was it like, if so, if that's real documentary, not mockumentary, what was it like to have a regional theater director criticizing your performance in front of a camera shooting this for a documentary?
See, I think it's all performance in a way, just like what I was doing was I thought, very much a kind of performance. When we told people like Richard Sibelico, a wonderful, interesting guy who I think gives a wonderful performance, I think, in the movie, when we told him, really just ignore our home, you know, movie camera, we're kind of making a home movie of this, and we're kind of documenting this and for who knows what. But just go about your job and just try to, you know, direct me and do whatever you do. That's what he did. But I think whenever you tell somebody that, especially somebody theatrical, and I think somebody like Richard, maybe it alters what they do. And so really what you get is a performance of some kind, I think. Remember that episode of Dick Van Dyke when they bring tape recorders into the writing room?
Oh, God, no, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, well, they bring, you know, they're writers on this comedy show, and they bring a tape recorder into the writing room, and all of a sudden, everybody changes. You know, they start, even though it's not being visually recorded, they start wearing different things, and they become different characters. Well, you know, so it's a kind of performance. Anyway, I think he might have been doing something like that, and he knew that we were also, in this movie, doing something kind of, you know, fresh, and also improvising and making stuff up. But I think when he was critical of me, no, he was just doing his job.
You've taught acting for many years, right?
I have for the last 15, 20 years at a place called Playhouse West whenever I'm not working in North Hollywood.
Do you teach the way you were taught, or do you teach something really different than the way you were taught?
That's a good question. I was taught by a masterful acting teacher named Sanford Meisner. You probably know about him.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I teach something like the way I was taught, yeah. And we teach his. He had a brilliant kind of foundational training program for the early actor that I pretty much follow along. That's right. The first element of which is this improvisation, very particular kind of improvisation that I teach. Although, as I've taught, and you know, one of the reasons I taught was to sort of take the course again from the inside out and really know as much as I could about it, just to make sure I didn't miss anything. And as I've taught, I've gotten more excited and passionate and clear and particular about what I think he had in mind and what I like to have in mind with my own, the use of it for myself and as I teach it to students.
Who are the directors who you learn the most from working with?
Well, you know, I've been lucky. I've worked with a lot of great directors. I worked with Robert Altman early on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a great teacher, I think. And I think the things that I've done that I've sort of had something to do with initiating, I did this little short movie that I directed. You know, I think I used as inspiration, you know, something of what I think he was doing in Nashville and in this Pittsburgh movie. You know, I'm still inspired by his improvisation, use of real life, use of real people, non-actors and actors, all that, you know.
What are some of the things that happened in Nashville that you were able to think about or borrow from in Pittsburgh?
Well, for instance, you know, I think one of the things that Robert Altman does is always get people to collaborate, create an atmosphere of real trustfulness. You know, one trusts him so much, and you know you're in good hands, and the movie's going to be interesting. And he makes all the participants responsible for what they're doing, and so as a result, it makes you come up with your best stuff. How can I describe that? For instance, he would go, you know, and it's not that he's complacent or not visionary, very much the opposite. He's very specific and about his world and what he wants to paint, you know, but he will say to the actor something like, well, what am I going to photograph today? You figure out what I'm going to photograph it, and I'll photograph it. In other words, he sort of causes the actor to come up with their best stuff. And he uses what exists, another kind of Sandy Meisnerism, but he uses accident, you know, movie making has a lot to do with what's accidental and what exists at the moment. And something about the magic of the moment. And he makes a kind of particularly masterful use of that. He told me before in Nashville to learn a bunch of magic tricks. It wasn't in the script, but he said, you know, I have an idea. Get a hold of, in New York there where you're living now, get a hold of a sleight of hand guy and learn a whole bunch of tricks and bring him down here. Maybe we can fit him in the movie. So I did, and I'd bring him on the set, and he'd sort of make up on the spot how they could be incorporated, and a couple of them are still in. You know, like that. Yeah.
Now, one of your really early roles was one of the men in Death Wish who kills Charles Bronson's wife and rapes his daughter.
Yes.
And I've been thinking, like, what's it like to get started in a scene like that?
It was great for me. I had just come out of Sandy Meisner School, and miraculously, it was the first thing I auditioned for. I didn't, you know, so it was great. I went and kind of, you know, improvised this sort of little violent scene for the director, Michael Winner, and did it. And Michael Winner, who's now passed on, was notorious for yelling and kind of doing that. And I remember the first time I was kind of coming up the stairs, sneaking up the stairs in order to kind of pounce on these couple of women. It was a camera rehearsal. I was unfamiliar with any of this. And I was sort of, you know, skulking up, and they were setting the camera. And he yells at the top of his lungs, this is the first thing I ever did, "Goldblum, start acting now!" He was British. And he really, you know, scared me. And he really, and that's about all the direction I ever got from him. But, you know, in a way, it wasn't bad direction. It was like Richard Sibelico. It had its harshness to it, but there was something probably legitimate in it, too. Just start doing it was the idea.
My guest is Jeff Goldblum. His new movie is called Pittsburgh. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Jeff Goldblum. His new film, Pittsburgh, is about how and why he decided to star in a Pittsburgh production of The Music Man. The movie combines mockumentary and documentary. Now, the premise in Pittsburgh is that you've just fallen in love with a young woman in her 20s who starred in the road production of 42nd Street. And she's from Canada. She needs a green card. One way to get it is for you to get married. Another way to get it is to do this musical together. And I think you're engaged when the movie's being made, and you do this musical together. And reading between the lines, it sounds like you're not together anymore.
That's true. That's true. We actually were together, and at this point, we're not together. That's right. We broke up several months ago.
Is it strange to have this film about this new and real relationship between you, so real that you're thinking of getting married, and now the movie comes out, and everybody who sees it will get caught up in this new relationship, except that's all behind you now. It's over.
That's true. But like I say, I always, I think, I hope people will... Yeah, I wonder whether we were ever together or any of that was true. I hope it plays. Now, I think it plays, it's crowd-pleasing like a, you know, narrative movie and like a fictional movie. And I'm hoping they'll see people's acting in it and go, hey, that's just really good, interesting, spontaneous acting. I wonder if it's scripted and they're just doing that in a way that's kind of pretty good. And the relationships, and Cassavetes would use, you know, people's real mother as their mother, you know, and, you know, the relationships seem very rich and kind of real. So that's what I'm hoping. Now, about, it's okay. Sure, it's strange. It's always strange seeing yourself in this. It's kind of strange and mostly exciting. I've never been as psycho-emotionally kind of invested in a movie. I kind of, you know, have been thinking about this for a while and was central in kind of getting the whole thing done. And so I'm excited about it. But I know what you mean. There's, you know, yeah, well, things come and go. But the movie also is about... I think, you know, essentially, has this character, Jeff Goldblum, lost his mind? Has he gone crazy? Is this relationship is it ill-advised, like people in the movie are telling me? Is it
That's right.
Is it impetuous? Does he have some romantic kind of crazy idea because of one thing or another, his own quirks? Or Are they totally incompatible, or is there something here? And what the heck is he doing? You know, racing after this, you know, headlong this Pittsburgh idea and going back to Pittsburgh. Has he lost his mind? And is his manager right? You know, is he, you know, shooting himself in the foot professionally? And is all this ill-advised? Well, that's what we ask in the movie. And in a way, the answer is. Yes. Is yes, that character in that movie is a bit nutty. And, you know, it's amusing to me to, you know, consider my own nuttiness is the answer.
There's a scene in the movie where you and Moby and Ileana Douglas are singing Gary Indiana together while he plays guitar behind you. How did that come about?
I love that scene. That was, well, once again, you know, our technique. He was acting. In fact, I hate to give things away, but they weren't a couple. They weren't really boyfriend and girlfriend, and they were acting. And he said, well, what do you want me to do before we do this? And I said, well, just, you know, nobody will ever know, because that's what we're all doing. Use as much of your real life as you can. You can reference things in your real life or expose anything in your real life. Just reveal anything you want to reveal. Well, so I don't know what he revealed that was real at all. I'll never know that. But we just got the cameras rolling and got me as I entered his apartment, I think, for the first time. So me in that scene, when I'm seeing his gold and platinum records, I'm seeing them for the first time, and we start talking, and we talk about this and that, and we hadn't planned to do that. I had that little, you know, music book from the Music Man, and it just happened as it happened on camera. I said, you know, do you have your guitar, and can we sing something, and what do you want to sing? And we chose it on camera and then set out to sing it. I like that. I like our rendition of that.
Yeah, I like that scene a lot.
Thanks.
Well, Jeff Goldblum, thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And good luck with the movie.
Oh, thank you so much.
Jeff Goldblum's new movie is called Pittsburgh. It premieres this weekend at the Tribeca Film Festival in New York. I'm Terry Gross.